Welcome to the Plain Label Podcast, episode 93.
Ray, it's Warren. I know we separated on a bit of a sour note, but I just thought I should call and tell you that I've been doing some thinking and some soul searching, and well, I just wanted to tell you that I'm willing to talk about this because of all the things that have...
If you're satisfied with your message, press 1. To listen to your message, press 2. To erase and re-record, press 3. To continue recording, message erased. At the tone, please re-record your message. At the end of your message, press 1.
How did you and Mom end up getting married?
She wanted to.
You didn't?
I figured what the hell.
Were you ever sorry you married her?
All the time. Could have been worse.
Well, you must have been in love. At least at first.
Never came up.
Did you ever talk about having kids? Like how many you wanted and stuff like that?
Nope.
And why did you have us?
Because I like to screw. And your mother's a Catholic, so you figure it out.
So you and Mom never actually talked about whether you wanted kids or not?
Well, I figured if we kept on screwing, we'd end up with a couple of you.
Hello and welcome to the Plain Label Podcast. I'm your host, Eric Williams, and along with me is my good friend and co-host, Mrs. Rachel Zelag.
Hola.
In this episode, we are starting our new theme, which can best be described as movies about old people.
Yeah.
This first episode, we might as well have called it movies directed by Alexander Payne or movies about Nebraska, as we're discussing about Schmidt and Nebraska, both directed by Alexander Payne. Before getting into our discussion, we would like to mention that we are proud members of the Deliberate Noise Network. Head over to deliberatenoise.com and check out some of the other shows that are over there. All right, Mrs. Zelag, let's get into this shit. Drink roll call. What do you have for me?
Okay, I'm drinking the new Belgium Pumpkick, and I got it straight from the brewery in Fort Collins, and
came
back to good old Nebraska with me, and I'm going to go out on a limb and say it is my favorite pumpkin beer of all time.
Whoa.
Yeah. I'm gonna go ahead, gauntlet.
That's not just the brewery talking. Like, it wasn't just I was at the brewery and had several beers and this one is my favorite now ever.
No, it tastes, some pumpkin, okay, so let's just have a little aside.
Preach to me here.
You know how they have, like, the cute little girls are like, I'm excited for pumpkin lattes and stuff like that. Well, I don't drink coffee. I'm not a latte person. I don't really care about pumpkin cookies or anything. The only pumpkin I care about is pumpkin beer. So I get really excited every fall that pumpkin beers are coming out. And obviously, like, Oktoberfest from Sam Adams is a base if I had to go anywhere. But sometimes it tastes like a wheat beer with some pumpkin flavoring in it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's just got a spice or two thrown in, and you're like, yeah. I don't know. Is this...
No. Yeah, and this Pumpkick, it has pumpkin and cinnamon and nutmeg and even a little bit of apple. Like, you can taste, like, all of those. And I was sitting across from Brad's mom, and she said, what does it taste like? And I said, it tastes like football. And she laughed at me, and then she took a drink, and she's like, oh, my God, I get it. So you just have to try it.
You didn't call her stupid and punch her in the face after she left?
I thought about it.
Okay.
But
as long as it's just an internal thing.
No, I didn't punch anyone. Well, let's not get into that. But anyway, the beer is good. What are you drinking?
I am, I don't know. I don't know if very similar is appropriate when we're talking about Schmidt. But I like to think that I have some similarities.
Oh, yeah. No, I would keep going with that.
So I'm having a vodka gimlet.
Really?
Which is one of the first drink that I believe that he orders. And for those Neanderthals out there that don't know what that is a vodka martini with lime juice. And it's pretty refreshing.
I bet.
It's one of those where you have one and you're like, all right, I'm good. So I'm going with that. Yeah. Before I start kissing random people on the mouth that are in their 60s, I'll just have the one. Because if I was drinking Miller High Life like they do later,
that's disgusting.
Then that's probably what would happen. So I think that's probably good. We should also mention that while we are getting close to episode 100, this will be the last episode, I believe, that is recorded in my apartment.
Oh, really?
Because we will be, as of the release of this, we will be closing the next day on our home. And,
yay!
Yeah, and hopefully that will not interfere whatsoever schedule-wise. I guess I could always record one last go-round here and act as a little bit of a buffer. But yeah, so hopefully it doesn't sound too much different. Maybe it'll even sound better. Who knows? When I'm not in one room with all the activity happening that I try to get rid of in the background.
Social room for activities.
Yeah. So maybe it'll be a little isolated room. So it may sound different is basically what I'm getting, to. All right. Mrs. Elag.
What's up?
If you wouldn't mind, let's get into our first film from 2002. It is about Schmidt.
My name is Warren R. Schmidt. I am 66 years old and recently retired. Helen and I have been married 42 years.
Don't dilly-dally.
Lately, I find myself asking the same question. Who is this old woman who lives in my house? But then there's Jeannie. She's our only. Recently, she got engaged. I think she could have done a heck of a lot better.
It's not a pyramid scheme. A lot of people think it's a pyramid scheme, but it's not.
People used to raise their eyebrows because I breastfed him until he was almost 5, and I say, well, you just look at the results.
My father didn't think so much of you at first.
Jeannie,
I'm on my way out to see you.
You're coming now?
Don't tell me you couldn't use a little extra help with all those wedding arrangements. Life is short, and I can't afford to waste another minute.
Do you have any pictures of your daughter in your wallet?
No. I might have one of George Washington.
Warren.
I hope I'm not intruding.
As a father of the groom, I'd like to welcome our guest.
Can't we just enjoy our food?
I just wanted to acknowledge that we're gathered together as a family for the very first time.
I know what I want, and I know what I've got to do.
What's up?
You're making a big mistake. I mean, look at these people.
All of a sudden, you're taking an interest in what I do?
I know we're all pretty small in the big scheme of things, and I suppose the most you can hope for is to make some kind of difference. But what kind of difference have I made?
What is the matter?
I'm okay.
It still seems pretty weird for this to be happening today.
I have these left over from my hysterectomy. They've expired, but I think it's okay.
Mr. Schmidt will have a seat right there, right? Mr. Schmidt? Mr. Schmidt?
Warren Schmidt has led a safe, predictable life working at the insurance industry in Omaha, Nebraska for many years, yet now faces retirement. At the same time, he's forced to take a hard look at his wife, his life, and his relationship with his estranged daughter. An often hilarious series of events follow as Schmidt embarks on an unpredictable RV journey to attend his daughter's wedding in Denver, the Sunshine State.
Now, what's funny about that is if people have not picked up on the way that Rachel reads these IMDb's, if you would go back about 15 seconds and listen to her say the state Nebraska, it was like she's never heard of the thing before. Insurance industry in Omaha, Nebraska, for many years. It's like, I don't know what this word is, but these are the sounds.
Nebra.
Yeah. You could tell that person isn't from Nebraska with that abbreviation.
Right. That's what I was getting at. Yeah. And then they forgot the Oxford comma, so I went ahead and threw that in there for them.
Smart.
Right.
That's a good move. Okay, so about Schmidt. This was your selection.
Yes.
Tell me about you and about Schmidt. First of all, this theme was your prediction, or was your prediction. This theme was your selection. So what is it about old people that you felt was interesting enough to dedicate a month to? I believe you had mentioned something about how, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but creeped out by them maybe, or
no.
Or like off put by them basically.
Wow. But, you just put words in
it's some. Mouth. It was something along those lines. I thought you said
they are creepy. That's totally different.
It was something like that.
I don't know. I don't even remember what I was watching. I think it might have been what was that movie that we watched where the lady kills her husband? Spoiler, and then that creepy old guy follows her around in a car.
Was this recent?
King, what wasn't it?
The Stephen King movie we watched for the other podcast?
Yeah, about marriage. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that should come out next month, I believe, is what they had said. But, yeah, A Good Marriage was a movie that we recently watched.
Yeah, and that had an old guy in it. I don't know, we just haven't done... I don't know, honestly, it was just, you know, divine inspiration. And my mom was over here earlier, and I told her that we were doing movies about old people, and she got mad and hit me. And I was like... I didn't say you're old, but yeah. If you want to go ahead and group yourself in with that, that's fine.
Yeah, really. It's not like you're saying, it's not like we're doing movies from the older generation.
Right. It's not like I dedicated this podcast to my mom, but I will now. So there you go.
Yeah. It's not like we said, oh, let's do old timey movies from like the 20s and 30s and laugh at them or something. It's not like it's that sort of bent.
No, it's but just I think movies there that is are like
focused
a...
on older people.
Yeah, like a cute little pocket of movies that have either really bad portrayals of old people or like really good. And so like I just wanted to kind of venture into that and see what happened.
Well, I'd say that the sort of two camps that the older people in movies usually fall into are the grumpier old men. Or the grumpy old men type of a movie where it's like, oh, look, they're saying these funny things and it's funny because they're old, right?
They're old. It's like little kids doing it.
Yeah, or they're talking about their wieners. How funny, you know? And then the other camp is Mickey from the Rocky movies where it's the old guy who passes away during the movie and then the main character has to then show extra determination to then defeat his foe. I feel like those are the two roles that most old people have.
Yeah.
So it's interesting to have something different than that.
Right. And I feel like these two are kind of, I mean, maybe Nebraska, not so much, but I feel like about Schmidt is he's a little bit more lively than just the saying funny things and or getting ready to die.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we'll definitely get into what is interesting about these two movies. I think it's interesting that we, for the first time, picked two films that were by the same director, so we can kind of talk about what his certain point of view is as well.
Well, he obviously likes old people.
Likes Nebraska. I believe he was born in Omaha, Alexander Payne.
Oh, that makes more sense.
Yeah. So, our first film was about Schmidt, like we said, and give me your history about Schmidt.
Okay, I've seen this movie once. Like, I think it was right after it came out. My parents own this movie, not to keep talking about my parents and being old. They're not that old, to be honest with you. They're like 50s.
I was gonna say, they're pretty shockingly young for some of our listeners. They're like, what the fuck? They're only that old?
They're not like, walking. I have my dad hung my Christmas lights this year, so let's just go with that. But, the only thing I remember about this movie is him talking about how much he does not enjoy his wife.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I remember two phrases from the movie. Dear Ndugu.
Dear Ndugu. Yeah.
And I hate the way she sits. Like, those are the only things I remember. But I remember thinking, like, oh, that's funny. He's like a funny old dude. And so I just was like, let's do it. That's all.
Okay. Alexander Payne was born in Omaha, by the way. I thought that was right, but I did look it up. And he also did Sideways, which is another movie that we almost did.
Right, but we weren't drinking any fucking Merlot.
Yeah, that's true. Strauss would have been down, but fuck that.
Right.
Yeah, so my history with About Schmidt is the same-ish. I saw it once before this, and the scenes that I remember are when he was losing it, that first letter he wrote to Indugu.
Yeah.
And he starts, you know, really getting after it.
Yeah.
And then I remember the RV scene with the wife.
I totally don't remember that at all.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I just remember it being very uncomfortable, and I didn't remember specifically what happened, but I knew something bad was going to happen. I was like, I'm pretty sure he does something weird here. So it was actually a little less tame, or a little more tame than I thought it was.
Right.
Going to be, but it's still a point where you're definitely cringing while you're watching it.
Right.
So with this being your pick, what did you think of the movie?
It was good. It was fine.
Mm-hmm.
It got a little kind of like boring to me at the end, I guess. If we're being honest, like when he gets to Denver, I was like, oh, I almost don't really care.
You didn't like the Kathy Bates character?
No, she was okay.
You didn't like her big...
Everybody was... her big things.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. No, it just kind of slowed down for me, because I feel like he was on this, like, kind of, like, path of exploration. He was, like, in an RV, he's doing all these fun things, and he gets to Denver, and he has to deal with his, like, weird-looking daughter and even weirder-looking son-in-law.
Well, Hope Davis is the daughter.
Right.
Hope Davis, and then it's Dermot Mulroney is the son-in-law.
I know, and he is so, like, in other movies, he is so adorable. And in this, I'm like, oh my god, he reminds me of Colin... Farrell from Horrible Bosses.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he's gross in that.
Yeah, Hope Davis, she's one of those actresses that reminds me a little bit, almost like Parker Posey, where she is in so many independent movies, and Hope Davis specifically can look either really good or she can look really unattractive very easily.
Right. Homely is the word. Because yeah, she wasn't homely. Attractive, but like
sure.
they just like, I've never seen a grown woman put her hair in like barrettes, I guess.
Well, that's what you do if you're from Nebraska, don't you know?
Oh, yeah. I always have fucking barrettes all over the place. I don't even.
Maybe if you were in the 80s, you would have.
You don't even know. Yeah, maybe. I have a funny story. So like, I can't. Anyway. So this was the second one I watched. I watched Nebraska first. And my first line is, I'm sick of people, because I didn't know it was the same guy, making movies about how quirky and, like, boring Nebraska is. I'm going to make a movie called Game Day and have it be, like, from start to finish of a Husker game day. And then people can see how quirky and boring Nebraska is. Because sure. That is a shit show.
Oh, absolutely it is. It's one of those where, you know, if you want to do a coming of age kid turning 21 or his first experience outside of like a Mormon or Catholic sort of upbringing, and then he goes to a Husker game and gets trashed or something.
Yeah.
That happens about every weekend. So.
Right. A lot of fun people.
Come down and film it.
Like, we'd have to be playing somebody fun. So it would have, there'd have to be some research done, but it could happen.
Oh, it could definitely be done.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I had a little bit different of a reaction than you did because I watched this first.
Okay.
And, you know, because you go chronological, right? That's what you do.
What?
We talk about them chronologically and you watch them chronologically. Nope. So I just thought that it is genuinely hard for me to watch a movie with Jack Nicholson and not warm up to that character.
Sure.
And I think that even when he's not being a jerk, like before he really starts criticizing his wife or talking about how he doesn't like her and he thinks she smells bad and all that, I think that even when he's not being a jerk, he's still being a jerk, but I still like it.
Oh, yeah. I have no problem with his character.
And, you know, I'm on this Warren Schmidt side, and I'm feeling bad for him when he doesn't have a role anymore.
Yeah.
Right. And I think that that's what Alexander Payne's main focus is what do we do when we don't have a job?
You know, right. What do we do now?
Yeah. When we don't have responsibilities anymore, like what,
how I would be willing to explore that. It's fine.
Yeah. That's right. I'll give it a shot.
Right. I mean,
but, so yeah, he's very concerned with these people that have these long lives, that have done all these things, that have these routines, or these people around them that know them. And then when they have a change later in life, how do they react? And, you know, Jack Nicholson has been waited on his entire life by his wife.
Yeah. Hell no.
Yeah. And has a job that he is pretty invested in from the sounds of it, the way that he raised his daughter.
Right.
Where she was, you know, he wasn't ever around. And then when that's taken from him, and when his wife is taken from him, what does he do? And I think that that's an interesting premise. And I want to say, and I like this movie, but I want to say that the premise is almost more interesting to me than the actual execution of the film.
Fair enough.
I think that the film is good. I don't see many actual, like, flaws in it. But it does have this sort of Alexander Payne, just kind of flatline feeling.
Yeah, I like to use the word ambling along.
Ambling, yeah, that's good. Mm-hmm.
Where it's like, oh, we're doing this now. There's not really a super exciting scene, and we're not having ups and downs. We're kind of just ho-humming.
Mm-hmm.
But,
and you know, since we mentioned Sideways, that was kind of what I felt about that. But then when there were bursts of energy from Paul Giamatti, I was kind of like, oh, now we're going. But then that wasn't what the movie was.
Right.
You know, and
that's all I remember about it.
Oh, absolutely. Me too. I remember them trying to hook up with the ladies and being pissed about the Merlot. And that was about it.
Yeah.
You know? So that's kind of what I feel like about this movie, to where there's not a main thrust in the film. And so I think that that's definitely a style choice, because that's how both the films are. That's how that's just kind of what he does. So he, you know, it's not on accident by any means, but it's tough. It's not a movie where you turn it on and just go about your day. Like, you have to sit and kind of immerse yourself in it, I think, because otherwise there's no impact whatsoever.
Right. And it does, I mean, like, at least for me, it did, kind of, it wasn't one where I wasn't engaged in it or with it, I guess. Like, I was, you know, I'm not an old man, but I was trying to, like, put myself in his shoes, like, thinking about retiring, and if I had a kid who I didn't like their choice in, you know, person or however that works. And some of my notes are like, he's retired and they're in the RV and they're having breakfast and they're all excited about leaving. And like, I have never been to the point where like, I have never worried about money. So like, the first day that I'm not making money, I would just freak out.
Yeah.
They're like, I'm excited to go on trips. I'd be like, where are we going to get money for this? Like, I don't know what you're saying. Like, oh yeah, we have retirement. Like, every day that would chip away, I would just like die a little bit more.
Yeah.
Heart.
Yeah. I think about that, you know, when I hear people, and granted, this was when I was at the golf course. So the clientele is typically a little better off.
Sure.
But I remember hearing people say, oh, you know, back in the day when I was living paycheck to paycheck,
Jimmy Stewart was at your golf course?
Oh, wow. Yeah. And so that'd be great if he was. James Stewart. And so people used to say that, and I was like, what the fuck is that like to not live like that?
Right.
Like, I'm 35 years old, and I have never lived like that.
Like, I could retire tomorrow, sure. I could not have a job, and then in like a week or so, I'd be like, okay, well, I guess I don't need food.
Fine. Yeah, well, internet is always optional anyway, and so are lights and whatever. you know. Yeah. I'm going to burn these books last. They'll keep me warm.
Oh, man. Brad makes so many book burning jokes. It's not even funny. I also thought the beginning, first of all, I like some things about how Alexander Payne works. I like how we don't get a lot of dialogue at the beginning. You just have to pick up on things that are happening.
Uh-huh.
You don't get everything spoon-fed to you. You don't get, my name is Warren Schmidt. Like, you get that in the Indugu letter, but that's like 20 minutes into the movie, and you already know, you know, what's going on without having people, like, spell it out for you. And I really did appreciate that. I thought that was, like, kind of a refreshing way to start a movie as opposed to just, like, laying it out.
Here is the exposition.
Right, right. But it's like he's in his office. You can obviously tell things are packed, and then you see the retirement party, and then the people are talking and blah, blah, blah. And the guy from Des Moines stands up and says he's from Des Moines, and I wrote, I would have quietly booed him. Like, just out of pure Iowa hatred. But...
fuck them.
So I guess, I don't know, like, I just have, like, dumb notes, like, following along. I said funerals are expensive, burn me, and scatter my ashes at the Boulevard Brewery. That would be just fine.
Oh, smart.
Like, I don't need a cough or anything, so.
What do you think about that? When he, you know, he supposedly puts his wife in the second to cheapest, coffin.
See,
his daughter is pissed because she, you know, says that it's so cheap and everyone could tell. And he's like, well, no, it's the second cheapest. And she's like, well, what was the first option? A pine box? Right?
Right.
What do you think about that? I mean, does that matter? I feel like we're supposed to be outraged along with her.
Right. And I was thinking to myself, like, you need to calm down. Mm. Like, that, but that's just me. Like, I would say I'm a Warren sympathizer. So, like, most of the things he said, when he takes her aside and tells her not to marry the guy, I think that he was overstepping his boundaries there.
When he's panicking in Colorado?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
But, like, I would never... like, when someone's grieving, like, I would never second guess their decisions. Cause I have no idea what that's like, and I would, like, I've never been in that position. Knock on wood. And so, I thought she was completely, like, wrong and exaggerating, and, like, were people really going home and whispering about how cheap the coffin looked? Like, cause those people can suck a dick. Like, I don't care.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't have any money, and that's what I would be saying.
Right, or like, it's going in the ground. It's going to be buried. If you can find a fucking Folgers can big enough to shove me in, then go for it. Like, it doesn't make a difference, but...
it's all worm food anyway, Cruz.
Right, that's kind of my thought there. And that's what I thought he was going to say, but he was just like, the sandwich is great.
Mm-hmm.
I love lettuce.
Yeah. So there are things about it that I really do enjoy. Like, I think the Indugu stuff is interesting. It is a little bit of a, like getting around the idea of not having exposition in your film.
Right.
You know, then you just have them write a letter to somebody you don't see and all that. But I do like the letter writing just for the contrast and what his life seems like and then how he flips out. You know, says what's actually
about this, like, completely, like, thing that's bothering him to a child who's worried about food, you know?
Right, yeah. And it still was, it was making me cringe to see him gift money to an organization like that. Not to say that I don't feel bad for people that don't have clean water or food, but anytime there's some sort of, like, telethon type coverage and you see an older person writing checks out, it just makes me feel dirty. Like, I'm just like, oh no, you're getting scammed. Like, this is not a good idea.
You're on,
you know, and that's
Angela Lansbury said it was fine.
Yeah, and that's the thing that Alexander Payne likes, because in the second movie, that's the main thing.
Yeah, it's weird.
Is an older person.
He definitely has a type.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, he, yeah, I don't know, limited income, but I mean, to me at the end, I guess that was to, for lack of a better phrase, that was like his saving grace.
Mm.
I guess, like,
sure. You know, that was the best quality probably about him, right?
Right.
Other than the speech that he gives at the wedding reception.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And that was still kind of awkward. I was like, oh God. But I guess I'm just not, I don't enjoy people speaking in public in general. So that probably is just a Rachel problem.
Oh God. I should tell you about my speech classes then.
No.
A lot of freshmen. Yikes. So. I don't know if I should actually be saying that, but anyway, I think that, so I was going along with the movie fine and I liked it. Okay. I think that when he's going through her stuff and he finds the love letters, I thought the old man fight was hilarious.
Yeah, that was funny.
I liked that it was so short too, because I feel like if it was several more punches or whatever you want to call them, being thrown, that it would have been like, come on, you don't have the energy for that. Like,
it wasn't even a good punch. It was like, eh.
Yeah, he just lops his, he just kind of like swings his wrist and just kind of throws his wrist over the top of his head.
Right. it was pretty fun. And who writes love letters? I was like, oh, okay.
Old people do.
I guess. My goodness.
You didn't write love letters back in your youth.
I mean, like, notes passed in school?
That's what I'm saying.
I didn't do that, I guess.
So if you were from a previous generation, that'd have been the new hotness.
Right? That'd have been the tits.
Yeah, exactly right.
One of my notes is, that kid is a payphone. It was used to communicate with others in olden times. Because people have no idea. Oh, also, when he went to visit, quote-unquote, the University of Kansas.
Oh, the Nebraska.
Nice try, fuckers. That's Love Library.
Yeah. I said that to Annelle, too. I go, and that's on campus.
Yeah.
And she's like, what do you mean? It says Kansas. I was like, yeah, but that's clearly Love Library. Look. Right. What did you think of when they was touring Nebraska? Because I feel like there's a fine line to straddle between, like, oh, hey, look at here. We're touring someplace no one gives a shit about. Or people be like, oh, hey, check that out. It's North Platte. Or look at that, it's fucking Broken Bow or whatever.
Or that is the exact escalator that my koosh ball got sucked up into at the airport.
Yeah.
It was like 10. And
yeah, I was like, oh shit, boy, that airport looks really small on film.
I think, like if we're comparing, I think this one had a little bit more like, look how pretty Nebraska is.
Mm.
Whereas the second one is just like, I don't know if he was going for super depressing, but
it
like
does look bleak, yes.
That's what I got. And you know, as someone who enjoys Cornfield, I know it's not for everybody.
You do. If people were happen to be friends with Rachel on Facebook, she does like herself some Cornfields.
I drive by Cornfields every day on the way to work. And my favorite hashtag is flat is beautiful because it can be read so many ways.
Mm.
But I thought, you know, like it was funny watching him go to like Ogallala and shit like that, you know. And North Platte is so beautiful.
Oh, North Platte is a fucking shithole.
Fort Cody.
Terrible. Buffalo Bill, horrible, horrible person. And I love that I freaking grew up there. And that's like the, hey, it's Buffalo Bill's town. Or the dude from Goodfellas used to have a sandwich place here.
Oh.
Sweet. Oh, hey, they used to call you Little Chicago because you used to tar and feather people. Okay, this is getting better and better. Can we move on, please?
That sounds awesome. Let's go.
God, what a shitty town. Fucking railroaders.
I mean, Oakland was the Swedish capital of Nebraska, and we really enjoy that.
That's a little bit more innocent.
It really is.
All the deaths and former gangsters.
People just dancing around with ribbons around a fucking maple. I'm not even kidding. Like, people are smiling all over that place.
Smart business.
Right. So I thought that I think that the Nebraska stuff is fun for people who live in Nebraska because every other movie in the goddamn world is either set in New York or LA.
Mm-hmm.
And so I get that. I think that's fun. And I do, there is like a fine line between, this is pretty and are you making fun of us, to be
right.
honest with you?
Yeah.
But that's okay. That's kind of, you know, people don't want to live here, and that's fine. I don't want them to live here either.
It makes me feel a little Canadian, to be honest. It's like, are you making fun of us? Are you... I feel like you're making fun of us a little bit.
Yeah, and that's fine, I guess. And then there was the part, there was a part where he was driving by cows that were on their way to go be hamburgers.
Yeah.
And I wrote, are we supposed to be sad about the cows? Because that's just making me hungry. Like,
I was like, you people like steaks? Or you're welcome.
Right.
Shut up about the cows.
Chickens come from chicken.
Yeah, so... I don't know. I guess I was expecting there to be a moment where he was on a highway and had to wait for the cows to cross, which does happen. Which is a fucking pain in the ass when it does happen.
Yeah.
Get off the road.
Or you're stuck behind a combine on your way to work.
Oh yeah, that's true. Let me pass this motherfucker so I can get on my way.
But they're waving. They're having a great time.
Yeah.
Spend 7 hours in a field and you have to go to work, so.
Probably drinking a beer while he's doing it.
Okay, I don't know how that works, but
just probably.
Okay. So, on a scale of 1 to 10, what would you give this?
Ooh, well, I don't know. I always struggle with the tens. I usually do the 1 to 5. I would give this one a if I could do halves, I'd probably do like a 3.5.
I would say yeah, because it did have its moments, and it did make me think. I wasn't rolling my eyes, and I mean, it wasn't Old Boy or anything, so.
Right. Ooh, we haven't pulled that out in a little while.
Right?
What she said. So, I think that, it's good. I do like the hectic wedding type stories. It reminds me just slightly of Rachel Getting Married. Not you, but the movie.
Right.
And the sort of chaotic family life sort of thing. Here it's, It is obviously played a little bit more for laughs.
Oh my god, shut the fuck up and drink your milk was like...
Yeah.
I did LOL at that part.
Oh, Kathy Bates is very funny.
Oh, yeah.
And she, you know, when she's... When Warren hurts his neck and he's on that crazy waterbed and, you know, we're watching this...
Reaction.
Yeah, we're watching this and I told Anelle, I was like, oh, I had a waterbed like that. She's like, gross. It's like, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. I do not understand water, but anyway.
Yeah, it's a whole, timing is key, is what I'm saying. So, when he hurts his neck and then she's feeding him the soup, and they're talking about, you know, his daughter having sex with her son and all
yes!
that.
Yes! Oh, no, he wasn't saying shit. That was all her.
Right. When she's telling him about that, the facial expressions there from Nicholson are, you know, it's like, okay, that's why he's a movie star.
Oh, yeah.
Stuff like that.
Well, and her, like, just her delivery of that, like, he couldn't keep up with me. Sex prowess. I was like, Jesus, Pitt. And she's like, yeah, so.
Talking about the two of them having a white hot sex life and all this, and I'm just like, oh, because they look disgusting.
I think that's the selling point for sure.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like we're, you know, watching hot people make out.
Sure. Which you typically would in most movies, right? And what I think is nice about it is she looks a little goofy, but she easily passes for just a typical looking woman, I guess.
Yeah.
Like she's dressed up to look a little funny.
Yeah.
But he looks ridiculous.
The son.
Randall.
Yeah.
Dermot Mulroney, yeah.
But the thing about it is, like, he does have his, like, it's so weird because there are, like, dual sides to people in this movie, even though you catch bits and pieces of them. Like, Kathy Bates, you think, is, like, kind of a hippie, laid back, but then she's in her, and you think that her ex-husband is, like, worthless, but then she's yelling at him, and I'm like, God, she's kind of a bitch a little bit, like, mm-hmm. I'm not sure if my first impression of her was right or wrong. And my first impression of Randall is that he's, like, the biggest POS on the planet, and he does fall for, like, Ponzi schemes and shit like that. But, like, then they list, like, all the nice things that he did, like, scoop the sidewalk, and he was, like, I know it was awkward, but he was, like, feeling bad for Schmidt and, like, you know, helping him pray and stuff. And so, like, oh, he's kind of a douche, but he's nice? I don't know. Like, I guess there are, like, there's a little more to the character the further you go in the movie.
Yeah, sure, I can see that. I did think that the broad strokes were funny, though, because, you know, I'm watching this with Anelle, or at least part of it, and we talk about how, you know, Colorado people are such hippies, and you know, she grew up in Colorado Springs, and so we have the Kathy Bates home, and she's like, oh my god, of course. Right? Because she's just like, fucking Colorado people.
Oh my god.
And just like every Colorado thing was just wrapped up in Kathy Bates' character. So I thought that sort of stuff rang pretty true, so I did like that. We did kind of skip over the whole him on the RV and then stopping. What did you make of that sequence when he's trying to make it with the woman?
That's disgusting.
What do you mean?
He's not reading signals right at all.
I think it's one of those where you're clued in pretty early on what he's going to try to do, right?
Right.
As soon as he goes for the old head on the boob move.
Oh, yeah.
And you're like, oh, no. And it's so clearly telegraphed that you're like, oh, just don't do that. Don't do that.
Like, the anticipation of it is worse than her, like, freaking out, I think.
Yeah, because she freaks out and you're like, yeah, you're right. You're right. Yeah.
No, you're totally right.
That's the right call. But I'm watching that going, come on, Jack, don't do that shit.
Yeah, like, what was he thinking? I don't know. I don't know what he was thinking.
He's thinking he's just going to get a quick smooch in before the guy got back with some more high life.
Well, and he had just, found out that his wife, you know, had smooched other people, so he thought maybe he was...
Oh, that's right, yeah. I think it was highlight. I mean, it looked like the champagne of beer. It was colored that way.
Don't even call it that.
I'm just saying what's on the label.
My friend was telling me about how she went to the beach and got stung by a jellyfish, and she's like, we went up to the hotel, but it's not like we could ask for piss in a bottle. And I was like, you didn't just order High Life? That would have done the trick.
That's good.
That shit tastes like shit.
I like that you recall when you're witty.
Like, all the time. Guys, I write it down.
This time, listen to this shit. Here's what I said. Can you believe that?
No, I just record it on my phone.
Oh, there you go. That's smart.
You guys record this. I'm going to say something cool.
And you're like, oh yeah, check this out, play.
Oh my god. I don't even talk in regular conversation. I just play what I've recorded previously, so I don't have to actually talk.
You just scroll through your phone. Let me find it. Oh no, that's not the right one. No, just keep listening. It's relevant. Just keep listening.
It's relevant. It was relevant 5 minutes ago when you guys were anyway. So Katie and I, when we went to Colorado, we played this fun game where you drive by an RV and you take the name of the RV and you put anal in front of it.
Okay.
So like we
not
drove
my
by...
fiance's name.
No. Mm-hmm. We drove by an RV and it was like the name of the RV was Hurricane, so it was Anal Hurricane. And you would be surprised at how fun that game is when you just like get into it. So like I will just randomly text Katie, like the other day I texted her Anal Chateau because that's funny to me.
I like where your head's at, Cruz.
Right? Classy to the end. What can I say?
That is what the show is all about right there. All right, do we have anything else about the movie about Schmidt?
No.
Okay. So we both thought 3.5-ish or so.
Yeah,
is good.
That.
Not
yeah.
bad. All right.
Not bad.
For discussing our second film, I should look at my script and read that Audible is offering our listeners a free audiobook of your choice. And a free 30-day trial membership. Just go to audibletrial.com/plainlabelpodcast and choose from over 180,000 audio programs. Download a title free and start listening. It's that easy. Just go to audibletrial.com/plainlabelpodcast and get started today. So, Cruiser, why don't we talk about the second film from right. Alexander Payne. It's from 2013, and it is called Nebraska.
So you told the sheriff that you were walking to Nebraska.
That's right. To get my $1 million.
This is Woody Grant.
We are now authorized to pay $1 million to Woodrow T. Grant of Billings, Montana.
This is his son.
You didn't win anything. It's a complete scam. So you gotta stop this, okay?
I'm running out of time.
This is his wife.
I never knew the son of a bitch even wanted to be a millionaire. He should have thought about that years ago and worked for it.
How much longer is he going to be around? What's the harm in letting him have his little fantasy for just a couple more days?
This is his family.
Woody, here's the talk of the town. Why didn't you tell us you was rich, Woody?
David said not to.
You got it on you. Yeah, we sure would like to see what $1 million looks like.
And this is the problem.
God damn, Woody grabs a millionaire. That crown is on Woody.
If Woody hit it rich and I don't see any of it, that would be wrong.
Are you threatening my family?
Everybody's saying how Woody Grant's a millionaire.
That's no big deal.
No big deal? Jeez, million here, a million there. Well, the newspaper's going to do a big write-up on you.
Honestly, right? Woody didn't win anything.
You're a damn liar.
Hey, 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 hey.
Come on. Have a beer with your old man. He's somebody.
Nebraska is a father and son road trip from Billings, Montana to Lincoln, Nebraska that gets waylaid at a small town in central Nebraska where the father grew up and has scores to settle. Wow. Mm-hmm. If you read this in a different voice, it'd be like, where the father grew up and has scores to settle.
And has a score. Jimmy Stewart, right. Could read it.
Right? Told with deadpan humor and a unique visual style, it's ultimately the story of a son trying to get through to a father he doesn't understand.
Is it a unique visual style?
No. I mean,
if you
it's
consider,
in black and white.
It's in black and white.
That's true.
And?
It is kind of. I mean, I don't know. They just do big, they do giant, he does giant shots of things.
Like, yeah, landscape shots, right?
Yeah. I suppose.
Okay, so this was my pick. It was, I frankly forgot that it was Alexander Payne. So I was like, oh, no shit. Oh, same guy. Weird. He likes old people, I guess. Okay.
Yeah, in Nebraska. Yeah. Which makes sense because he lived here, so.
Yeah, there you go. So I didn't know that. So this was unintentional that we picked him.
Sure, sure. Copycat. Whatever.
And so Nebraska was a movie I was like, oh, okay, I know Bruce Dern had hit this performance that he was very well known for. I knew that it was a very sort of naturalistic performance, that it was, you know, it's supposed to be like it was just real people that we knew kind of a performance. I love the poster with that silhouette and his crazy hair.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, what the hell? I know this is on Netflix. I know this is a movie that was very highly regarded. And we'll give this a go. So this was a film that I had not seen yet.
Oh, really?
No. Had you seen this before?
Yeah.
Oh, well, tell me about your history with this. Where did you see this? Did you just rent it or what?
Yeah, it was like, you know, we're at Hy-Vee getting groceries.
Right? Oh, I thought, so you didn't go to like the Ross to see it because it sure as shit wouldn't play on the, Transformer theaters.
No,
the,
we got
big
it on
budget only.
We got it on Redbox and all just. Right. Brought it home or not, because it was like, it was nominated for a bunch of crap, so when we, you know, we always want to see the ones that were nominated so we can play Siskel and Ebert at our house.
Wait a minute, you talked Brad into watching this with you?
It was his idea.
Brad's a man, though. A man, man.
I mean, as far as I know, he's a man last time I checked.
He doesn't have any time for a movie shot in black and white called Nebraska.
I made him go see The Artist.
Did you really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's hilarious.
You know what? We were looking through movies on Redbox one time, and I am not as big as a movie snob as you are, to be fair. But he looked at me and he's like, can't you just be open-minded about movies? Can you just try? And I was like, ugh.
Was he talking about like Pain and Gain with The Rock?
To be fair, it was Sex Drive.
Oh, please.
And I actually LOL'd a lot watching that movie, if we're going to be honest.
Oh, Cruz.
James Marsden was pretty funny.
Oh, no. But, yeah, I figured that Brad's reaction to this was similar to that, what was the musical that you guys made me go see?
Oh, my God.
With Tom Cruise.
It was so bad.
It had the Def Leppard in it. And I literally wanted to leave about halfway through it. And was like,
I stayed for them, so I was singing along.
And I was getting upset that I was still there.
Oh, Rock of Ages?
Rock of Ages, thank you, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's what I figured. My reaction to that is what I would anticipate his reaction to this.
No, I mean, he's pretty open-minded about watching movies. He watches shit without me all the time. Like, I'll be like, hey, do you want to watch this independent movie? He's like, oh, I watched it the other day while you were doing something. I'm like, what?
He has that hidden depth.
Yes. Sure.
Surprisingly, you don't see it on Husker Game Days, though.
You don't see it on me on Husker. I'm not sitting there chit-chatting with anybody. Yeah. I'm in a Sasquatch costume jumping out from cars.
I'll be like, Cruz, we got this longboard. Are we doing shots? Fuck yeah! All right.
Oh, I can't wait. Cool. Anyway. okay, we have very naturalistic performances, like Will Forte's girlfriend is the worst actress I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, isn't she? Hey, I'm going to line read. It's like, whoa, that's...
I don't know if it's not working. We don't do anything.
It really struck me like it was someone from Clerks, is what it made me think of.
Right, or someone that they, like, grabbed off the street, and they're like, can you read five lines? Oh my gosh, this is my big break.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited about it.
You know, I hope that that's the case, though. Or I hope it's, like, a friend of a friend or something. Right. I hope it's not some woman that's, like, spent years going to, you know, going to be classically trained and spent all of this money to and all of these acting coaches, and then this is her big break and she's this bad.
Well, that's her own fault. People get cut all the time, okay?
There you go.
You can't, you don't, you know, you don't make it, you don't make it.
There's no bleeding hearts over here.
Right.
Chris says, fuck it.
So, so what do we think about the dad? Because he's really stubborn, and he makes me want to hit him, but then he also says things like, beer ain't drinking, and I really enjoy that.
I think that, I would like to say in another life, this would be a good way for me to grow old.
Right, if you didn't have any responsibilities and didn't enjoy anything.
Well, I would say maybe if I was on the path that I was on when we first started maybe this was a reality. But I don't know. I kind of think that it's tough to really be on his side because he's so blind to the fact that he didn't win jack shit. You know, and it's like, well, God, you're so dumb. Like, come on, old dumb guy.
He's just really, I don't want to say one dimension. He has like tunnel vision when it comes to everything. Like, and the conversation that he has, that Will, his son, has with him about his mom is just ridiculous.
Yes.
He's like, why'd you get married? I don't know. Like, why'd you have kids?
She wanted to, is what he says, right?
She wanted to, yeah. And then he's like, why do you have kids? I like having sex. You just like happen to, I'm like, how do you just live your life letting things happen to you?
Yeah, because he says he likes to screw is the way he says.
Screw, that's what it was.
And that's one of the things where you hear someone saying screw, and I'm just like,
Yeah, that is such
I don't like that. But he says, I like to screw, and she was Catholic, so what'd you think was going to happen or something like that? And I was like, oh, okay.
The Catholics wouldn't be caught dead among all those Lutherans.
Oh, that's, yes. Oh, I wrote that down. Catholics wouldn't be caught dead around these Lutherans.
Shut up.
Oh, that was good. I was like, oh, Cruz, yes.
Right? You know it was going to hurt a little bit.
I want to get talked about that mom. But before we get away from Bruce Dern, I think that the actual character is fun at times and frustrating at times and, he's always important, but not like a focal point at times.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't do much.
Right.
And so I think that while that is really well done from Bruce Dern's point of view, from the actor portraying those things, I don't know. I like the fact that it seems like somebody that I could know, but I lose how impressed I am because it just seems like it's somebody that I know.
Yeah, see what that's I mean? True.
Like,
yeah.
It's so similar to what I could just see.
Yeah.
It makes me lose those sort of reverence for it, I guess.
Which, yeah, it is like a really good positive and a negative at the same time.
Yeah, yeah. If the plot had something more that would have happened, maybe I would have felt like, oh, wow, it's great how this guy is so real. But as it is, it feels like they're just like, hey, can we follow you around for a while?
Right.
I guess.
Like a documentary.
Yeah. And so they just follow this dude who is dumb, and they're like making fun of him because he doesn't get it. It's sort of what I feel at times.
Well, I feel like it's more about the son than it is about the father.
Yes, I think
and
you're right.
It's about him trying to deal with his father, and there's like obviously a lot of disconnect there. First of all, how old is his father? Because I feel like the guy's like 35 and his dad is like 97 and a half years old.
It's funny too because, you know, I'm 35, like I said, and my dad is in his 70s. And so he's, you know, older for someone that would be.
He's not walking to Lincoln old.
Sure. He's not losing his mind old. So I guess when my sister, who's 9 years younger than me, so she's 26, when she's 9 years old, then he, 9 years older, then he could be about this age.
Oh, okay. So there's a possibility of losing I guess, cause there, I guess he did have an older brother, but I feel like they were pretty similar in age. But I guess the wife has like absolutely no problem with her cognitive thing, except for, she lost her filter a long time.
Oh, yeah, she definitely did. Boy, does Alexander Payne like the women that just say whatever they want to say or what?
I really appreciate it. I'm not mad about it.
Because Schmidt's wife was busting balls.
Yeah.
And then
Kathy Bates.
We talked about Kathy Bates, and then now this June Squibb character.
She showed her vagina to a gravestone.
Yes. I didn't think I was going to see that when I saw this movie.
Oh, man.
I also didn't think I was going to see one of Kathy Bates' boobs.
Yeah.
But.
Those are massive. Yeah,
that's, whatever.
So, okay. So he decides to go to Nebraska, and he stops in every small town in Nebraska ever. Because that's exactly, is that a real town?
I don't know.
What was it called?
I don't even recall.
I keep trying to say Holdridge, and I know that's not right. It was like Humble. It was something.
Yeah, it's one of those where there are so many little towns.
Right.
To where I guess I could see where it would be a real one, but I don't know that it necessarily has to be.
Right. And I don't think that's the point.
Mm-hmm.
But there are, you know, a lot. I mean, like you're watching and you're like, oh God, yeah, no, that's what's happening in every small town in Nebraska right now.
Yeah, well, yes, and you know, one of the things that's interesting is I want to talk briefly about the brothers or his cousins or whatever they would be.
How long did it take you to drive?
Yeah, and they you know, that's like the funniest thing in the world to them.
Right.
And what's funny is, you know, with my recent brush with very small town life, I've seen a lot of friends don't let friends drive Chevys type shirts. And so I saw this and was like, oh my God, that's so right.
Oh like, yeah. So I mean, right I'm in a town of 1200 people. This is pretty spot on. Like everybody goes to the one bar.
Well, yeah. I mean, the town I'm talking about has 700 in it.
Oh, okay.
And it's kind of like this. And I'm like, holy crap.
Yeah, they have like, they have the gamut of cliche characters.
Mm-hmm.
For sure. What was I going to say? Oh, one of the things that, that both of these movies do well, and it's good because they do it well, but it also annoys the shit out of me, is old people dialogue talking. Like, Schmidt gets off the phone with his daughter, and the wife's like, did you talk to Randall? What? Did you talk to Randall?
Oh.
No. You should have talked to Randall.
Did you ask for him?
Did you? Yeah. You should have asked for
you
him.
You need to put and, like, an effort.
In this one, like, everything else good? Uncle Ray? And then they're talking about that guy's car, and he remembers it wrong, and I'm like, oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
I have heard these conversations before, and like I understand.
I wonder what that says though. I mean, because I wonder if we view that as fucking A, like I have to hear this shit all the time anyway. I don't want to hear it. But I wonder if someone, you know, in very urban New York or LA is watching this and is like, holy shit, that's how they talk. Get a load of that.
I mean, as far as that goes, I don't think it's so much Nebraska or Midwest oriented. I think it's like older age people. Mm-hmm. Because it's like, did you hear that so-and-so died? Like, I don't know who that is. I'm sorry. Is it? Oh, it was so-and-so's son, daughter from the other, you know, like, I feel like it, I mean, it might be, cause I don't, you know any old people from New York, but, I just like, you know, as a lover of snappy dialogue, that shit just drives me bonkers. Like, I can't handle it.
That would be a really fun exercise for you to do though, is to force yourself to write in the voice of an old man.
Oh my God.
That has lost his.
Really close to Schmidt.
It's like he's lost his Girl Friday sort of dialogue ability.
No, I wouldn't do it. I'd throw the notebook against the wall.
It'd be a lot of ellipses. What? Dot, dot, dot.
Did you ask?
Yeah.
You used to drive that Chevy Nova, didn't you?
Huh?
What? No, I can't. I can't.
He's like, no, I had a Buick.
Don't make me.
I mean, that's, for me, I mean, that is very real because, you know, my mom grew up in a small town in Kansas and it had 200 people. And it would be a thing where I remember playing in the school playground when I was a little kid and having a starter jacket from the Bulls. Cause of course I did, cause I was a bandwagon jumper.
With the Velcro front pocket?
Of course, yeah. Of course. And so I remember sitting it down and I remember not being able to find my jacket. And my aunt saying, oh, well, those kids over there have it. And I was like, no, that's theirs. What do you mean? And they're like, no, you don't understand. Like, this is where we're in Prescott, Kansas. They don't have a starter jacket. Like, believe you me. And I was like, oh, really?
Stole your coat?
Well, of course.
What?
Fucking Kansas people. Kansas sucks just like Iowa sucks. Anyway. So anyway, it was, but every time I go there, I hear people that talk just like this.
Oh, really? So maybe it is a Midwest thing.
Maybe. It could be. They are also old, though, so it could be
right. Just
old people as
now
well.
Now we have to do research.
There
now we go.
Have
to go talk to 700 old people.
You have to fly out to some sort of metropolis.
Right? I'll take the West Coast. Well, we'll talk about it.
Yeah. We can have, maybe Alan can do the East Coast for us.
Sure, there you go.
Yeah. He'll listen in. He's going to be pissed when he finds out how old your parents are, by the way.
What?
Anyway, so let's talk a bit about the mother and her sexual escapades and her no-filterness.
She's my favorite.
Of course. She has to be. Somebody has to be somebody's favorite in the movie, right? Because otherwise it's like, oh, what am I doing?
She was not your favorite?
No, I liked watching her a lot. I'm just saying, yes. Like, if she's not there for the sort of comedic relief or the sort of levity, it's like,
right,
what's
I would have definitely fallen asleep and or, like, knocked myself unconscious.
Because, I mean, full disclosure, I watched this last night, and it wasn't a movie that I had to stop and then restart, but I was struggling staying awake. And, you know, there, I do have my plate definitely full currently, but it has less to do with that than it does with the movie because it was a sleepy movie.
Right.
You know, there's not a ton that happens. There are good performances, but their performances, like I said, that is so close to what I already see to where it didn't exactly dazzle.
Sure. You didn't like the da-da-da-da-da-da, like that reoccurring music every time anyone got in a car?
Not particularly.
No.
I did think that, I don't know, I kept wondering when this was supposed to be. Like when, what was the time? Like
late 90s, early 2000s? Maybe?
Because Schmidt is supposed to be in the 80s, right?
Oh, really?
Well, yeah, because they have the TVs that they have and Angela Lansbury during her Murder, She Wrote days doing the telethons. I just figured that was in the 80s.
I don't know. I just thought they were trying to make Nebraska look really gross.
Oh, Well, I guess that's the way that I interpreted it. It could be much more recent than that. I just thought that, like, that grandma had her little dustbuster thing was so old looking.
Right.
So I don't know. It could have been a thing where it's like it was a tried and true mechanism that she had.
Got it.
But anyway, so I kept watching this and was like, man, old people are still falling for mail fraud, like mail gimmicks. You know, like, oh, hey, you could have won $1 million through the mail and they're still buying it. I thought it was like all email slash, like cell phone fraud now.
Yeah, but I feel like old, this is so stereotyping. I feel like old people think that the mail is a lot more dependable. Mm,
okay.
Than the internet. And so if you get a certified letter in the mail, someone's sending you an email.
Yeah, it was
could
weird.
Be wrong.
It was weird could because he's, you know, so very sure that he doesn't want the mail sent.
Well, his wife's not. I mean, it's just him.
Right.
His wife is like, he's an idiot. He doesn't know what he's saying. Like, right. Everybody else is like, stop walking.
Yeah, and it's odd because, you know, it's an odd character choice because he is this old guy who doesn't want his money sent through the mail. And it's like, well, fair enough. You know,
right.
if he actually had $1 million, fuck, I wouldn't trust that to be just mailed. But, he also doesn't bother just to call the place, right? Like
right.
he has to walk there. And I'm like, really? Do you need to though? Do you need to?
He has no idea what's going on, to be
honest. I guess.
Most scenes start with someone asking him a question and then him going, huh?
Mm-hmm.
And then this question being repeated.
That's true. Okay, so I sort of buried the lead as to what the main thing that I wanted to talk about was here is, what did you think of Will Forte?
I thought he did okay.
Okay.
He played the exasperated son very well.
Mm-hmm.
There weren't really a lot of, opportunities for him to kind of do anything that required chops, if you know what I mean. It was just kind of following him around and sighing and dealing and being like incredulous about things.
Mm-hmm.
So, he did that very well, but he didn't really have a scene where I was like,
ooh, he's nailing this.
Right. Cause he didn't have an opportunity to.
Mm-hmm. I guess where I stand on this is because it's black and white, because everyone is so grounded, I saw him and had a real problem taking him seriously.
Yeah. Cause I just got done watching Last Man on Earth.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, you're ridiculous.
I think of him as the guy on How I Met Your Mother that gets an erection every time he gets a nosebleed. And he talks, you know, it's the same. He talks the same.
Yeah.
You know, he sounds the same. He looks pretty close to the same. And so I just was looking at him going, God, I just cannot take you serious at all.
It's like when we watched Skeleton Twins and I thought it was going to be funny.
Yeah. It is like that. I guess that I wished he would have Steve Carell'd it a bit where it's like, oh, grow a beard. Now I take you serious.
Kind of. Yeah.
Like your drama beard, you know?
Maybe he tried to grow a beard and it didn't pan out.
Well, he does have, looking at the IMDb page, he does have a little bit of a 5 o'clock shadow. So maybe that's all they went for. And so I don't know. I guess it was the same for me as if like Ed Helms would have been the same character.
I like him though.
You know, to where it's like, okay,
he's the same age as the dad.
It's like
sorry, I thought you were saying. Never mind.
Not Ed O'Neill. Ed Helms from The Office.
Got it.
Andy.
Right.
So if it was him, I'd have been like, okay, well, you're a comedic actor and you're just not saying any funny things. Like, what's
right.
going
okay,
on?
Okay, central casting. Who would you have put in there?
I don't know. It says in the trivia that there was quite a few people that were picked or that were considered. Some of the people that were up for it were like Bryan Cranston, Paul Rudd, Casey Affleck, Matthew Modine. Oh. Are all people that would have done it. I would have, I don't know, I guess maybe Casey Affleck might have been interesting.
Yeah, except for it would have been called Boston.
Yeah. And he would have just saying all right.
Like, Mushmouth. Yeah, he would have been able to definitely play off the serious, for sure. I don't know, I'd have to think about it, who I would be like, damn.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good job.
Yeah, so I don't know, I thought that, oh, actually, they auditioned for the roles of, yeah, of David, okay, of Will Forte.
Okay.
So, I don't know what I would have thought about that. I just felt like I'm looking at this guy and I'm just not feeling anything from him performance-wise, and maybe that's the point, but if that was the point, then I didn't get it. You know? And I did think, like, that the, you know, that the end bit where they're stealing the air compressor.
Compressor, yeah.
It's him and Ross, his brother, that's on the on the news. Yeah, that's also in it's also mostly for me a comedic actor, but is you know, he would have been teamed up with Bryan Cranston. But if it was, you know, when I saw them, I was like, oh, okay, this is another dude that I saw from How I Met Your Mother. It's another funny guy. So what's going on? Like why these guys? Like, what? I don't get it.
I mean, that's how you.
That's how you break the stereotype, right?
Right. Like, you go and do an independent movie, and you do it in black and white, and you know, it's kind of like the coming of age Disney star, where you have to do like cocaine and take your clothes off. So
yeah, you gotta do something stupid and.
Right.
I did enjoy Stacy Keach, who played Ed, who was the guy that had the air compressor.
Oh, he can suck a dick.
Oh, isn't he a jerk off?
To be fair, there are a lot of cliche people in this movie, but we never had anybody that was that big of a dick back when we used to live. So
I really like, you know, I was introduced to him more recently in Prison Break. In the TV show Prison Break.
What else is he in? Because he looked familiar.
Yeah, he's had 205 actor credits.
And he has Dunlap disease pretty bad.
What does that mean?
His belly Dunlapped over his belt.
Oh my god, I've never heard that.
Really?
No, I've never heard that before.
That's like what I think. He looks like a puff belly kind of.
That is incredible.
I'm sorry.
Holy shit. How have I never heard that before?
I have no idea. I thought you would immediately get it and be like, Rachel, you're ridiculous.
Wow, that is great. I used to work with several people like that.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think what I saw him in. Maybe, does he do a lot of, like, cartoon voices?
He does. He's done a few Batman voices in some of the Batman movies.
Yeah.
He was in The Bourne Legacy. He was in 2 1/2 Men.
Nah, I never watched that.
Oh, good for you. He was in ER and, like I said, Prison Break. I mean, he was Mike Hammer back in the day.
He was in
Rugrats.
That might be
it's
it.
A voice. American History X, maybe?
No, I've only seen that once, and I don't really remember it.
Yeah. So. I just remember the curb stomp. That's about it.
So anyway, so on our 1 to 5 scale that we're doing right now, what would you give this one?
Now, if we're doing halves again, this is probably either a 3 to a 2.5 for me.
Yeah.
Because I feel like there's just less going on than in About Schmidt. And I guess that's interesting if you find the characters interesting, but I wasn't that enamored with it, I guess.
Right. Nobody died. They went on a trip, but they only, you know, they only went to one place, really. They went to Lincoln at the end and drove by the Walgreens where I fell asleep.
Fell asleep, she says.
yeah, I think I'm kind of on the same page. I hate agreeing with you because it makes me angry with myself,
makes for bad podcasting.
It really does. I give it a 10. A fucking 10. No. I'm kind of the same way. There wasn't really a whole lot going on, and I mean that was the point, I guess. But I mean, it'll be a long time before I watch this again.
Yeah, and for as a refresher for those that give a shit, I guess. I was going to say for those that care, but that's, I mean, come on. For those that even give a shit. For me, a one is like if I can barely make it through it. Or if I stop watching it. So for you, like, old boy. No, yeah. For no, a two is a movie that I would prefer not to watch again, but if I really need to, then I guess I will. And then a three is a movie that's like, oh yeah, that was all right. A four is a movie that I would definitely watch again for no reason. And then a five is a movie that I would like to own.
Right.
It's kind of how I do it.
Right.
It's
adopted that.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's how I did it. When I did the movie a day thing, that's kind of the way that I went by it was like, oh, would I watch this again? Probably not. Oh, fuck. Then it's a two. Easy.
Oh, that's pretty
cool. Done. Yeah. All right. So anything else about Mr. Payne that, you know, he has, I believe it was four or five movies that have been set in Nebraska, including Election, and these two.
I mean, I really appreciate that we're getting some love.
Yeah, a little bit.
Like I said, I would like to see, kind of Election was had a little roller coaster going on, but I'm going to put it to Alexander Payne to do a Game Day Nebraska movie.
God, that would be so weird.
Why?
Because that's just like, that's so contrary to the style that he does.
I want him to do it like Nebraska. And that
oh my God, that would be
like, wake up and I wake up and he just like follows me around my house while I'm like slowly getting ready and brushing my teeth, you know, and just like turn on Kirk Herbstreit, sit on the couch and he watch it, like, you know, it watches me watch TV.
Like, Rachel, are you drinking this champagne?
What?
Ready?
What?
Yeah, I am.
We have to leave in how many minutes? We have to leave in 10 minutes. So-and-so is going to be there. Who's that? See? It would
you know
work.
Him. He's the one that brought over that bottle of Fireball. Oh, okay.
Oh, I forgot the rest of that night and people yelled at me.
Yeah. He's the one that likes to fight the tall guy. Oh, okay, yeah.
No, the tall guy is our friend.
I know. I saw the tall guy at the golf course.
Oh, really?
And I was like, oh, sitting there thinking, like, you're the dude that likes to fight people. I know who you are.
Picked on, because it doesn't matter.
And I was like, and you don't know me because I've met you twice and you were trashed both times. I wasn't, but you were, so you definitely don't know who I am.
You know what? That's happened to me so many times, though. I'll be like, hey, I'm Rachel. We've met. Cool.
I know. I just shots or sure. Shots. Just fire. There's a skateboard right here. We could just do shots together. Longboard, whatever.
All right. Well, I'm putting it to Alexander Payne then.
So there it's you go. Him. Yeah. It's your responsibility now, my friend. You
right?
Need to make this Game Day movie.
If you need to get together with Nolan to spice it up a little bit, I can give him a call too. Let
Chris
me know.
Has a couple of good ideas every now and then.
Okay. Little action scenes.
Stolen from Rachel most of the time, but whatever.
Right? Oh, dickbag.
Yeah, really. All right, well, if you have any comments for the show or the movies that you'd like to hear us talk about, maybe that aren't set in Nebraska, maybe if they are, I don't know. You could email us at plainlabelpodcast@gmail.com. You can follow the show over at Twitter under the handle @plainlabelpod, where you can follow me. I'm @EricWilliams79. You can follow Rachel. She's @LadyZlag. That is Lady, S-Z-E-L-A-G. We also have a Facebook page where you could like the show. Just search for Plain Label Podcast. If you wanted to help us out a little bit, you could head over to Amazon.com and search for our wish list. It's full of movies that we want, equipment that we need, a whole bunch of shit from my house that I don't have. And so if you're in the giving mood, just search for the wish list called Plain Label Podcast. That's not really true. You have to find my actual personal one, but I'll definitely give that out to you if you want. So thank you for listening, and we'll be back next week with more movies about Nebraska. Movies that aren't directed by Alexander Payne, or
maybe
More movies about old people,
right?
I saw her standing on her front lawn, just a twirling her baton. Me and her went for rides in tents and people down from the town of Lincoln, Nebraska, with a sawed-off 410 on my leg, through the badlands of Wyoming, I killed everything in my path. I can't see that I'm sorry for the things that we've done, at least for a little while, sir. Me and her, we had us some fun. Now the joy brought in guilty verdict, and the judge sentenced me to death. Midnight in prison storeroom, leather straps across my chest. Sheriff, when the man that switch and snaps my poor head back, you make sure my pretty baby sitting right there on my lap. They declared me unfit to live, said into that great void my soul be hurled. He wanted to know why I did what I did. Well, sir, I guess it's just a meanness in this world.